Welcome to The Lorraine Murphy Show. I'm a mentor, four times author, leader of my Bold Darling Mastermind for female entrepreneurs, retreat host, and I've gotten to host this podcast for 5 years. As with all of my work, this show is to serve female entrepreneurs who want to optimize their energy and their mindsets in order to build the businesses and lives of their dreams. I've walked this entrepreneurial path for 11 years now, and I can tell you that there is a way to have a business you love and still have the space and time for all the other parts of your life that make you, you. Whether your number one priority right now is to scale your business, upgrade your finances, rediscover yourself, find more energy, get more organized, reconnect with yourself, or build a life and or business that's more aligned for you, or all of the above, I am here as your guide on the show to help you make it a reality. Listen in on my dulcet Irish tones as I share tales from the front line of my business and mentoring, behind the scenes insights on how I'm approaching life and business, and speak with brilliant expert guests. Search The Lorraine Murphy Show wherever you get your podcasts. A new episode drops every Friday. Subscribe to make sure you always catch the freshest episodes. Let's dive in to this week's show. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of The Lorraine Murphy Show. It is wonderful to have you. Now, before I kick in, this is such a good episode this week. I've just been listening back to it as I'm comparing, and it is packed with so much gold and also so much fun as well. However, before we jump in, I want to remind you that my Bold Breakthrough training is happening next week. So if you haven't heard about this yet, I have analyzed the thousands of female entrepreneurs that I have mentored over the years, and I've pulled out what the five biggest blocks, the most common blocks that those women experience, and I am addressing them in the Bold Breakthrough training. So it's completely free. It's a one-hour masterclass. There are three different options for you to attend, different times to attend. And in that masterclass, I will be sharing how, well, first of all, what those biggest blocks are, and what you can do about them in order to move forward in your business. There is a kick-ass playbook, which is valued at $39 in its own right, and you can register for free. Just go to lorrainemurphy.com.au/TBB, the Bold Breakthrough TBB. And I'll pop a link to that in the show notes as well. Now, I am very excited to bring on this week's guest because I know her and her work very well. Laura Press is an online and results-orientated marriage and relationship counsellor. She recently featured on Channel 7's The Morning Show and is also a regular guest on ABC Sunshine Coast Radio. Her professional and tailored approach has successfully helped hundreds of clients resolve relationship issues. And she's also a longtime Bold Darling member. She's one of my Bold Darling VIP members. Now, a core tenet of my Bold Darling Mastermind is holistic success in life. There is no point in having successful business if your health, home, or relationships with loved ones are in the toilet. So I'm really excited to have Laura on this week. And I think she's got a really good perspective because obviously she's an expert in relationships and has helped so many couples. However, she's also walking this path herself of having her own business and also having a successful relationship and being a mom to her kids as well. So what we are talking about today is the quite unique set of challenges that one or both partners in a relationship having a business can present to a couple. It's a really fun conversation. I share a lot about my own experience in this space. Laura shares her own experiences as well. And yeah, I just can't wait to get this into yours. It's really, 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 really good conversation. So what we covered a lot. Something she shared was the percentage of her clients on average that have their own businesses. That really, really surprised me. She talks about the impact of women and therefore on their businesses when a relationship isn't fulfilling. She shares her simple tip to help her husband feel seen. And honestly, it's so simple and so smart. I don't know why I didn't think of this sooner. It's a really, really great tip. She also talks about depolarization, masculine, feminine energy, and how that can affect relationships. We also covered the difficult conversations specifically around money and around risk that businesses can cause for a couple. We talk about how sex impacts connection and my experiment from the previous night that we recorded this conversation. Her non-negotiables for a happy relationship. Fubbing, did not know what this was before I came across Laura's work, and how to deal with it. and the importance of curiosity in relationships. So as I said, it's a pretty packed episode. It's super fun, and I really, really hope you enjoyed as much as I had. I enjoyed having the conversation. Hello, Laura Press. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Lorraine.
I feel very honored because I know you've been doing a lot of TV of late. So yeah, I'm glad I managed to squeeze a date into your calendar, given you're an in-demand media personality.
I don't know about that, but thank you. It's good to be here.
Loving seeing you fly so high. It's wonderful. So good to see. So my dear, we're talking about a topic that is very, very close to my heart today. And as you know, obviously you're a longtime member of Bold Darling, and you know that we talk about it, I talk about it in Bold Darling, but also more broadly through all of my work. There's no point in having a successful business if the rest of your life is falling apart around your ears, you know, whether that's your relationships or your health or your connection with your kids or, you know, just life admin wise. So I'm really, really excited to talk to you today because I think you've got a brilliant perspective because you are a relationship therapist yourself, but you're also self-employed. So I'd be like,
yes,
you can speak to this from two different perspectives, which is awesome. Definitely. So I'd love to talk to you today about, as you know, how we can have successful businesses, but also have really beautiful, connected, thriving, nourishing relationships as well.
Yes, it's so important to me because obviously I think something that I've always said is that I love my business. I love helping people, but I would never do it at the expense of my marriage or with my kids. So it's important that it's sustainable for sure.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So can you tell us a little bit about you and your background? Just so obviously I know you very well.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you just share a little bit about you just so everyone knows who you are before we kick into the nitty gritty of this topic?
Absolutely. So I'm a marriage and relationship counselor that works online. I really help people through really challenging seasons in their life or business or just in a whole lot of holistic ways. So sometimes it can be a trust issue, a communication issue. There's so many things that we go into, and then help them build a really loving, connected relationship and also a cohesive family unit, because I'm very passionate about that as well. And I guess the way that I got here is I have done lots of degrees, probably too much.
Lots of degrees.
I have 3 degrees. And so I've studied chiro, I've got a biomedical science degree, I'm a qualified teacher, and I've got a master's in counseling. And those things seem different and disjointed, but to be honest, when I put them together, it really helps me help people because I, you know, they'll come to me and say, my doctor has said XYZ about my mental health or the tablets that I'm on. And I don't have to spend any bandwidth on that. I'm like, I know exactly what they're talking about from my past experience.
And, yes, of course.
Yeah. And so I can talk to kind of like the biochemical reactions that are going on, the physiology changes and shifts along with, you know, the mindsets, the beliefs, the mental and emotional, and also my favorite, the practical actions, and merges together to really help them create results.
Yeah. Love that. Thank you so much. And this is nosiness, but also I think it sets up our conversation today. Of your clients, roughly what percentage would be self-employed, as in that they have their own businesses, whether that's one or other or both of the partners?
So I'd say a 40-60. So 40% self-employed, 60% in, and other times.
That high? I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, it's crazy how high. I don't know if I just attract them. I think I can speak. I mean, I've done episodes on the business skills translates to your relationship. And I think maybe I just attract them, but I have so many self-employed couples. So whether it's a family business and they both work.
Yes.
You know, traditionally employed and one runs a business. That's quite common as well, but all sorts of demographics. Yeah.
I actually thought it would be more like the 80-20 rule where 20% of your audience, your clients would be business owners, one or both.
I'm not sure. I think, well, inevitably we end up in some individual sessions as well. So we end up and because I'm so passionate about both, I think we end up as well working on how that works in with your life, the business, as opposed to being the whole thing. Because it's very easy to make your business your sole focus, especially if you're the main breadwinner.
God, and yes. So,
yeah, I think perhaps I attract it. But yeah, it's quite a high split, which is, I mean, I really enjoy working with people, I mean, in all areas. And there's also the strong corporate, I think, as well, that I find that I have as clients, you know, that they're really looking to move up and hold leadership positions. And that brings a whole stress of its own.
Yeah, yeah. Fascinating. So can you speak to this then? Yeah, I would be fascinated to be like a fly on the wall. I know Esther Perel did that whole podcast. Yeah. I don't know if she's still doing it. Where so Esther Perel, if you're not aware, anyone listening isn't aware, she's probably the most famous relationship therapist in the world, would you say? She's incredible.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. And then she did a podcast. As I said, I don't know if it's still running. And it was actually her in therapy sessions with the couple she works with. It was incredible.
Yeah, it's a good listen.
What would you say, my dear, are like the top, let's say, 3 to 5 challenges, the challenges that are you see happen more if one or both of the couples does have their own business, mm-hmm. more so than if they were in kind of employment?
I'd say the main one I see is overworking. I mean, I find that we all love our businesses and it's like another one of our children. We love it so much and we own it, right? So we put so much time, energy in it. Sometimes it's hard to switch off. So it can be, especially when I find one's in a business and one's not, particularly that it's the shared understanding that's not always there and that needs to be created and communicated. I know for me, the main mistake I made was not communicating it early on. And also assumptions. I had assumptions that, you know, my husband would know the lingo, that he would understand my massive vision and understand that there's also that risk-taking, you know, calculated risk-taking mentality in business that's not there when you're self-employed, which I actually think is one of the biggest things.
Yeah, that's so true. Yes.
Yes.
Particularly if Wade was a financial advisor for a few years. Yeah. And he used to talk about clients either had a high risk profile or a low risk profile. So if you're in a relationship where one of you has a really high risk profile, mm-hmm. the other one is very low, that's yeah. really challenging because it's hard to find a middle ground, isn't it?
100%. And I'd say I know that I'm in that marriage. And don't get me wrong, my husband is incredibly supportive, but the risk taking and my risk taking, naturally more of a risk taker. And he's not. He's very practical and like, let's create a plan and we'll execute it once it's like fully dialed in every detail. Whereas I'm like, oh, let's just do it. Yeah. And I see that in couples all of the time. It's like, oh, and your time investment and how's this going to pay off? And I think as business owners, the biggest mistake we make is we don't communicate how that could pay off. We assume they know how it could pay off. I can tell you 9 times out of 10, if not higher, they have no idea what the payoff is for this. Because they only understand and know traditional, you're employed, you get a salary, and that's what makes sense. When you're in a business, it's a whole different game in terms of finances, in terms of work hours. Like, how could that possibly be better is something that's not communicated often and early enough.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I love that. So, yeah, under communicating.
Yes.
Because I guess, yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? If you're in a relationship whereby one of you, or, you know, both of you mm-hmm. are self-employed, and then you see your partner in the office at home or huddled over the laptop at the kitchen table constantly. Yes. And you feel, yeah, I can imagine you'd feel like, what's the point of all this? But yeah, not having someone explain the payoff, that's huge.
Yes.
Can I add a couple on? And this is from my hard-earned experience personally, 100%. But also the work that I do with my one-on-one mentees and obviously the Boulder Island Group as well, is money. I think when one of you has your own business, it changes the money game a lot. And I think a lot of that does come down to risk-taking, as you've just touched on there. Yes. But it really changes the dynamics around money. Do you see that one as well?
I definitely see that one with clients. I mean, there's a number of elements, I guess, that comes with money, because I think sometimes there's not the understanding or the communication of that you will not just draw a salary, but the idea is to, you know, take that profit from the business, and that, you know, you're also working to support the family in a different way, which means you give you time and location freedom and, you know, freedom to make choices for your family and be there. So there's many, many ways that money comes up. Also, I find that that can be the hesitation of, well, why do we need to invest more again? Or, you know, how would that take the business to the next level? Or, yeah, there's a lot that goes into it that I find. Do you find the same?
Yeah, definitely all of the above. I think also what I've seen with quite a few mentees is when they are in the early stages of the business, and, you know, being very transparent, Wade and I had this conversation. So my first business took off quite quickly. It did really, really well quite quickly. But the second business, this Lorraine Murphy business, was a lot slower to get started. And for multiple reasons. One, I was figuring out a completely new business model. Mm-hmm. Number two, I was trying to do far too many things. I pretty much just unleashed every product idea that I had in mind for the last like 10 years, I unleashed in within like 2-3 years time, through a 2-3 years window. And it just wasn't, and we had been used to this level of like excellent financial success with the first business. So I know there was a few really difficult conversations that Wade and I had around him saying, like, you're really stressed, you're tired.
Yeah.
And it was set to the backdrop of selling my first business, and lots, I feel like I'm going into therapy now myself. A lot going on personally as well. And on more than a few occasions, he said, look, is this worth it? Like, would you not be better off going and getting a job? And he never once said that to me in the first business, ever.
Yeah, and it's actually confronting. Well, I've had the similar conversations in my relationship, and I don't know how you found it, but it's a little bit confronting when it's, you're like, you know, because you can feel what they're saying and you know it's true, but at the same point.
And you know that they're saying it out of love. They're not saying it to upset you or keep you down or keep you playing small. He just genuinely said, look, Robert, actually, our therapist, said Wade's got a very scientific brain, which I would 100% back up. But Wade, you know, he's seeing this as like a balancing act. And he's like, look, the benefit is so low down on this and the impact, the negative impact is so high. Like, it's just not making sense.
Yeah. Like, being transparent as well, in the early stages of my business, it was like, well, when does this pay us? You know?
Yes.
Because when you're first starting, to be honest, it doesn't pay you. You are working for free. And that's the reality of it. And I know it looks really glitzy and glammy online, but like, truthfully, you're working for free. And often you're just reinvesting what you've got to get things to where it needs to be. And it's hard. And when your partner is seeing that, and I'd say it's a business mindset. Like, they maybe they don't have it, or maybe they're just worried and concerned about you. And I mean, like you say, it always comes from a place of love, but it's hard to communicate that. And then I find that's when you've really got to hold on to, well, yes, okay, this is for me. This, why am I doing this? Why is this important? And, you know, looking at making, you know, why you're actually deciding to do that and hold on to it and holding that vision, because no matter how good you communicate it, I still find that there's so much in there and it grows and evolves as you grow and evolve, right? It never stays the same.
So I think that's one I've seen a lot, particularly around the money thing. I've seen that a lot in my community, where there's pressure from the other partner. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, full transparency, I've said that to Wade with his previous business. I said, okay, almost like looking at my watch going, okay, you're away a lot and you are completely on another planet most of the time getting this business started. So I see that one around money for sure. The other one that I see though as well, so that's kind of the money bucket. The other bucket I see is the other responsibilities around home and family. And if someone is really investing time and energy in growing their business and there's children involved, then it just stands to reason that someone, and if you aren't lucky enough, and so many of my mentees are, you know, they're so fortunate, they've got family. One of my mentees, her parents live at the bottom of their garden, basically. So her kids can just like walk to the bottom of their garden, jump over the fence, and like they're in her parents' place. So if you don't have that kind of extended family support, that puts a lot of pressure on the other partner as well.
It really does. And I think the key around that is to communicate you're in a startup season. But also, it's interesting because I think I have also had the comment, oh, well, haven't you done your website? Like, isn't that all done? Like, it's, you know, it's done and like it's done and you've forgotten about it. But that's not how it works, right? It's a constant iteration and evolving, and you learn and you grow so much and you learn so much more. And so it's what I didn't do well was communicate initially. And I think we're good now around it. But initially, I didn't communicate around, well, actually, it's a growing and evolving thing. As I grow and evolve, as I know more about my clients, as I learn more about my clients, it constantly grows and changes. And what you're talking about around the support around the house, it is a conversation, because, I mean, I know I've been on my computer and it's, you know, I'm juggling dinner and different things. And it's like, it's also working out who's, I guess, carrying the load in different areas really, really helps. Yeah. Otherwise, it can come very messy very quickly.
Yeah, very, very messy. So I think we've put all the challenges on the table. Well, probably not all of them, but we put a few of the major challenges on the table. When you are working with clients who, as I said, do have their own businesses, are in relationships, how do you work with, like, how do you help them? As we said, you've already said, like, communication is such a huge factor. What are the initial steps that you will take with a couple to help them start to work through these challenges?
Yeah, so obviously it really does depend which particular challenge that we're talking about, but I think some of it is communicating, you know, the vision of your business, what it is, why you're doing it, what it can look like for your family, and really stacking the benefits. And I know, I understand that sometimes that doesn't actually happen, you know, like it's a projection that these are the benefits, but it's important to share that, because then your partner gets behind it and you need just both of you on the same page. So essentially it's about aligning the values and the vision together. So it's not just yours, but it's ours, even though you're the one running it if it's individual. And I think really ensuring that you have the boundaries with work. And so one tip that I always use is that even when I'm working and I'm working late or I'm working too much sometimes, I will close the laptop when he walks in. and I will connect with him no matter like what I'm doing. Obviously, I'm not in session. This is just working behind.
Yeah, yeah. Can you imagine? You're in the middle of a coaching therapy session and you're like, okay, my husband's here. Bye.
Yeah, yeah. Bye. Yeah, yeah. No.
At least you'll be walking your own talk, to be fair.
Yeah. But that simple habit, while sounds like not a lot, it's me putting him above the business. So it's he comes first or the kids come first, you know, in those spaces. And it doesn't sound like a lot, but when we have conversations, it's like, but you know, you're my number one because I will shut down whatever I'm doing and I will talk to you and I will like, make sure that we're good or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it's like a physical mindset manifested, if that makes sense. And it's really powerful.
That's really powerful, my dear, because how often, for many of us, we're sitting there typing and our partner walks in and you're like, hi. Yeah, I love that idea of, you know, and even if it's just for 5 minutes, as you say, just to say
not even long.
Connect.
Yeah.
That's really beautiful. I love that tip.
Yeah. And it can be 30 seconds. Like, to be honest, you know, sometimes they're doing something and they're just walking in. So it's
Oh,
hi, how are you? You know, and then that's that connection point. Okay, cool. And you're back to it. Like, I mean, it's not about anything being a long time period. And I think that's the key and the trap that we get caught into, that these things need to take forever. We need a 10-hour date night and we'll be good. It's not how it works.
Yeah. I love that. And so the couple of reasons I really love that is that one, as you say, it's a reminder to you as well of, okay, this person is more important, whether that's kids or a partner walking in. But secondly, then as well, I love that that's what you're modeling for your kids.
Yeah.
You know, that whole idea of like, oh no, I'm working, therefore this is more important than you, my loved ones. Like, that's really powerful. Love that. That's what your kids are seeing you and how you, where your pecking order comes almost in that, you know, moment by moment basis.
Absolutely.
So can we talk a little bit, my dear, about being connected? So I think this is a real thing. Like, my friend Stace called me the other day. So as we're recording this, we're still kind of readjusting back to being in Australia after our trip to Spain. So we've been back, as we're recording this, it's been 3 weeks. And she said, oh, how are you and Wade? And I said, I'm just feeling really disconnected. Like, there's so much going on. The personal admin is at an all-time peak in terms of, new school, settling Wilder back into daycare, new car, new home. Like, it's just huge. And it's almost like this thing, isn't it, that you, I think any woman in my community and anyone listening would say straight away, if I asked you right now, are you feeling connected to your partner right now? And it's not to say that they need to be sitting there holding your hand right now, but just that sense of, oh yeah, it's like we're tight, like we're good.
Yeah.
And I think that sense of disconnection is really challenging, particularly for women. Would you actually mind speaking to this? Because I know you've heard me talk about our therapist, Robert, and he talks about how men are quite compartmentalized, like they've got a relationship box. And when they take the relationship box out, they will think about the relationship and they'll be in the relationship.
Yes.
But then, like, for example, for Wade, then he's got his motorbike box, which he spends a lot of time in. So he gets out, and then he's thinking about the motorbike and he's ordering new gloves and he's like just sitting there. Honestly, I'd swear he just sits there and thinks about this effing bike. He's obsessed with it. But what Robert says is that men have all these little boxes, whereas for women, he talks like it's almost like a mass of wires. Like, we're always on all of the time. So as I'm recording this with you, I'm fully here. I'm with you. But I'm also thinking, oh, we're having salmon for dinner. Like, it's all line all the time.
Yes.
So with that, can you speak about the impact, particularly on women, if they're not feeling connected to their partners? And as a follow on from that, then the impact on their businesses?
It's a huge impact. I do. And I speak to so many women and a lot of them will be like, you know, if our relationship is good, I'm good. I can function in all the other areas.
Yes.
If it's not good, like, forget it. You know? And I know that myself. And I was just having dinner with friends the other night. And she said, honestly, like, he will go to sleep if we've had a fight and I'll be up for hours. Like, the world is ending. Like, we're in ruins. Like, no, nothing's good. Right. And that's just like a small instance for them. But like, it's true for women. We hold it, we feel it, and we know it. Whereas men are like, okay, we'll deal with that tomorrow. I'm shutting off. So like, we have 100 tabs opened or more probably at the one time. Men, we open the one tab, we're in it, we're immersed, we're focused, and that's the way their physiology is. And then once we're done with that tab, we'll close it, then we'll open another one. And so
it's so relaxing. Oh my God.
Doesn't it?
Oh my God. Like, can we bottle this and like take pills, please? Because that sounds great.
It sounds so good. But I mean, there's obviously a lot of strengths that come from our interwoven connectedness. We're very creative. But you know, they can shut off and compartmentalize. When they go to work, it's like, well, I'll deal with that when I get home. And it's done. Like, it's shut off for now. And women are like, no, it's like when they're at the work, it's still there and still popping up. And so it actually really drains your energy, to be honest. It really drains your energy. You get a lot of bandwidth. You give it a lot of bandwidth. And I think for business in particular, it can become hard to show up. it can be hard to give to others, you know, especially depending on what you're in. If you're in a service-based business, it can be hard to give to others if, you know, you've got this mental bandwidth running in the back. And so that's where it becomes super important to prioritize not only your own individual health, but then that relationship as a whole. And I know you were talking about just previously the disconnection sometimes with busy seasons or busy times in life, admin. Mm. Sometimes it's as simple as a hug and you don't have a lot of time, but it's like, I'm here. I love you. I've got you. We're still in this together. I know we don't have time right now. I want the time eventually, but I'm just letting you know now, because it's like a, it's like an exhale. It's like, okay, cool.
Yeah. Even as you said that, I went, that sounds really weird because you're obviously not my husband, but I'm like, ah, that, yeah, that's beautiful. So what would we say again?
So it's just, I'm here. I've got you. I love you. I'm with you. I'm on your side. I'm on your team. And I do want that time with you. I know we don't have it right now. And, you know, like, it's just letting the other person know. So these are all things that are going through often our heads, you know, as we're like missing each other, like, oh, it'd be great to have time with my husband or my wife, but we don't say it.
Yeah. Or I'll often talk to friends who'll say, oh, we're kind of ships in the light at the moment. Like,
yeah,
our kind of communication is pretty much just on the logistics of who's doing what. And that's it. Yeah. Like, and he's traveling or I'm doing, yeah, a lot of friends and mentees will say that. Yeah.
And I think sometimes that I find that in sessions a lot, couples will talk about them as mum and dad. And I'm like, no, man and woman, husband and wife, or, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, wherever you're at, it's partners. It's not always on mum and dad level. Don't get me wrong. We need that. But it's like coming back to the person, the woman or the man, and the human need of like, I love you. I'm here for you. I've got you. Or you look amazing, as opposed to thank you so much for, you know, dropping the kids. Don't get me wrong. That's great. But when we talk about the relationship and building connection and intimacy, we need to go to the more, you know, female, male or husband, wife kind of aspect.
Yes. Yeah. And obviously we're very much speaking to heterosexual relationships here as well. But I think so much of what we're talking about will...
It transfers.
Will extend. Yeah. And that's, of course, your expertise as well. Can we talk about the importance of the impact of digital distractions? Because, you know, this multi-screen time, I follow on Instagram, I connect with an Instagram, and she shared that she was doing like needlepoint. And she said she really enjoys doing it because when she's watching TV, because it prevents her from doing that, you know, that double screen viewing where you're watching TV, you're also scanning your Instagram. Like, oh my God, like, where are we going as a race? Honestly, like, because I get it. Like, I do that too.
Yes.
So what was the word that you used? You shared it in something you sent me. You were asking me to review, I think it was your speaker kit or something like that. And there's a phrase that you used, which is that, where you ignore other people in the room because you're on your phone.
Oh, fubbing.
Fubbing. I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
No, is that what it is? Did I describe it properly?
You did. So it is literally like you're looking at your phone instead of your partner. Your phone or your screen, whatever screen it might be, gets all of your attention instead of your partner. And I have to tell you, I have a lot of sessions on this constantly.
Who do you find are the bigger culprits?
Both. Women, actually, from sessions, if I think about it, I'd say women are slightly higher, to be honest.
Interesting. I would have said the men.
I think it depends.
Just based on conversations with friends.
Yeah, well, it really does depend, and it depends in what capacity we're talking about. And to be honest, most of them are the culprits, both. Because I'll find out when they're in the sessions, I'll be like...
Yeah, because if she's doing it, well, then I may as well do it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I picked up my phone anyway, and it's like, oh, well, then, you know. Yeah. And that's where 100% self-responsibility comes in, because, you know...
How many times have you been out, right? If you're out with a group of friends, like let's say there's six of you out, and everyone's phones are away, right? And you're having drinks or whatever, you're having lunch or whatever's happening. And then one person picks up their phone because they need to check something or whatever.
Yeah.
And then everyone starts checking their phone. So I can imagine how that would happen in a couple setting, because one of you does it and then the other one, like you're constantly mirroring each other all day long.
Yes. And it's like permission to, it's like, well, you've got your phone, so why not?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's a vicious cycle.
You've checked out already, so I know I will do that. So what is your advice to couples? Because obviously if you do run your own business, particularly if you've got a business where maybe you do need to be live on Instagram, you need to be getting back to messages on Instagram, or you've got a team overseas where you're checking emails like out of kind of normal work hours.
Yes.
What's your advice to couples on dealing with fubbing?
So the biggest one is to let your partner know what you're on your phone for or your computer for. So like even often I'll be on my phone or computer and it can be like, well, I've had many couples as well say, I don't know if they're working. I don't know if they're scrolling Instagram or shopping on Amazon. Like I have no idea. Yeah. And so it's actually to be clear about it. So some couples do this in different ways. So whether it's, okay, well, I'm going to take my device of whatever kind and I will go and sit in this certain chair or in this room or wherever it is in the house. And then you know that I am working when I'm doing that, whereas if I'm sitting anywhere else, it's not. Because what's really important is a delineation, because your partner's thinking, well, you know, you're rather spend time scrolling Instagram, but when in fact you're working on your business. And that's important for them to know because it, you know, it's a different level of understanding. The other one is to say, if something does come up or you need to do it randomly, like life is not perfect. So it's like, I'm just letting you know, I've got 10, 20 minutes on this task, on this phone, whatever it is you're doing, and then I'm all yours. I think the biggest problem comes is when we just don't let them know, and or we let the technology just go into all hours of the night. There does need to be a boundary at a certain point.
Yeah. And I think also if you're saying I'll be 10, 20 minutes, because I can be quite bad at this, that it's 10 or 20 minutes, you know, whereas I always think it's one of my time management things. I always think that something's going to be
quicker.
Like I'll think about making dinner and I'll go, oh, that's like, I just need to chop onions, garlic, but it always takes twice the time. So that's a real work in progress. And then particularly if I'm in something creative, like I really enjoy the space to get the email just right, for example, like writing an email. Yeah. So yeah, so your tips on fobbing are to always communicate what you're doing on your phone.
Yes, because like I've seen
so like monitoring, but yes, like if you're off on your phone saying, hey, just letting you know, I'm getting back to my Insta DMs or I'm checking the email that the team sent or whatever it might be.
Yeah. And to be clear, it's more like when it's out of the norm. Like it's not like you're going to be always constantly saying
yeah.
That would be bizarre.
Can you imagine all day long?
But it's just when it's out of the norm. Like it's in family time, for example, and it's not a time you normally be on it, but something's happened or some big deal's happening and you know you've got to be on. It's just communicating that because let's face it, our partners are, for the most part, pretty respectful and loving and caring and want you to do well. So it's not really an issue that you're doing it. It's just a like, why are you still working and how come? And so the other thing I'd say is no business notifications on your personal phone. If it's
That's a great one.
I think that's a constant interruption. So if you're trying to have downtime with the family, it's very hard. And like I know myself, it's very hard to switch off and think if a client emailed me, I would automatically want to respond if I saw it. And so don't have it dinging. Don't have it on your phone if you can like avoid it or have it two different phones. Like it's, find this some way to separate slightly. And sometimes it's just turning the notifications off. Like have it on your phone, but don't have the notifications.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's important.
Love that. Yeah. Amazing. Can we talk about the difference between feminine and masculine energy? So can you speak to this from your perspective as a relationship therapist? Because I'm really, just even this week, I've had some really big insights on it. So yeah, can you, would you cover it just so people know what we're talking about and we can go from there?
Absolutely. So obviously, and this can be, you know, it doesn't have to be heterosexual relationships when I'm talking about masculine and feminine energy. So we all have masculine and feminine energy within the one individual. So when I'm in work mode, I'm in my masculine most of the time. Sometimes it's, if it's a little bit, you know, caring and nurturing in sessions, it might be a little bit more feminine. But to be honest, when you're working, you're in the masculine. Often when you're at home with your kids or your partner, you're in the feminine, or hopefully should be.
If so, your children are behaving themselves and you're in your feminine.
Yeah, otherwise you're right in
otherwise,
the masculine.
Otherwise, the masculine gets unleashed. Yeah,
for sure, for sure. So the calm, peaceful environment.
If they're behaving themselves and they're on time, that's
yes. And so the masculine is that do-go energy. It is kind of in a lot of ways the high cortisol, but also gives you a lot of focus and direction. So that's why the kind of business, I guess, I kind of like to call it my business energy.
Yes.
And the feminine is that more nurturing, loving, relaxed, flowing energy and creative energy. So you can be in your creative energy when you're in your business. But when in terms of relationships, you need the masculine and the feminine energy, because if you come home, both of you from work, for example, as too masculine, it's depolarizing. There's no intimacy. There's no connection. You're like, it's like a power struggle, right? It's like headbopper's like,
that's a great way to describe it. Yeah.
Yeah. You should be doing this. You should be doing that. Like we're managing, we're, you know, we're delegating, you know, we're in kind of boss mode in some ways. Like it's kind of, whereas, and that you'll find, especially, you know, with very masculine males as one example, that can be very like, oh my goodness, like it can be quite a lot. And what you don't realize, well, what even sometimes I definitely don't realize is when you come out, you really need to take that break to reset before moving into the house or moving into time with your partner. So you have male and female, so you can have that passion, you can have that connection, you can have that negative and positive coming together, right? And so it's really important that you have both of those polarizing energies.
Yeah. And I think it is so difficult to actually do that, because I know I find that when I'm in my same, what do I work? I work 3.5 days a week. Do I? Yeah. Monday, Tuesday. So Monday is my day. I call it Monday Momentum.
Yeah.
Where I have no meetings. It's me working on my own business and my own content. And then Tuesday and Thursday are big mentoring days. Like they're full days.
Yeah.
Wednesday is with Wilder. And then Friday, sometimes I will do there's a bit of overflow for a meeting if I need to do it on a Friday, but I don't have meetings on Fridays. And then the afternoon is afternoon off. So I work 3.5 yeah. days a week, generally.
Yes.
So I find because those days are so big, and I think a lot of my, it's funny, I left my sunglasses at the retreat venue in Bali. And so, you know, Annie in Bull Darling. Yeah. So Annie came and dropped off my, she took them because she stayed on later because I always pay for late checkout so everyone can stay right up until the last minute. Because yeah, I hate beautiful. That feeling of having to check out and have a shower by the pool and all that. Like I want them to have like full looks until the last minute. So she brought my sunglasses over to me this morning and her son jumped out. He's so beautiful. And he introduces it like a really strong handshake and said hello. And I said, oh, I last saw your mom in Bali. And we were both a lot more relaxed than we were back then. And myself and Annie were laughing because she's like trying to get to an orthodontist appointment at 8:30. We've got like trying to get our two kids at the door. Like it was on. Mm-hmm. So those days are very big, right?
Yeah.
And I think for a lot of mentees, they would say the same. Like their day starts at like 6 a.m. and it's on. Mm-hmm. So I've noticed when I said that this insight around masculine feminine energy, this week I had a really big day Tuesday. And then Wednesday, so yesterday was my Mama Wilder day. And we did a lot. We went and we bought a car. It was so fun to do with him. Amazing. And well, we got back in the mid-afternoon. I picked Lexi up from school. I got back. I actually got into the pool because we're still in stasis space. So I hopped into the pool for a few minutes on my own. Had time to like pack away clothes for winter. And it was just so nice. And I just felt, I love my business days, but I feel like yesterday was a real day in feminine energy.
Yeah.
So aside from actually having a whole day to do this, what are your tips to actually drop more into that feminine space? Because I actually find that masculine energy quite addictive. It's like I'm caffeinated and I just want more. Like I find it very hard to drop out of it. So and what are your tips? We can be quite resistant to actually dropping out of that masculine energy once we're in it.
Absolutely. Like it's addictive because you can tick through that to-do list like nobody's business.
Whereas
when you're in feminine, it's like, it's so restful and like it fills you up in a great way, but it's not the achiever type filling you up. And I think that's the distinction. So the top tips for that, I actually run a lot of couples through this because I believe if your physiology isn't right, if you're not in the right state, you can't communicate clearly. Like I can give you all the strategies in the world, but good luck. If you're in fight or flight, how are you going to connect? Like you need to have that in check first before you go into all the other stuff. And I think often it's horse cart situation where we just go, oh, well, give me the strategy.
Just tell me what to do.
Yeah. And it's like, well, no, actually, it's a process in my mind for dropping into the feminine around syncing the heart and the mind. And so I walk them through. And I mean, if you want, I don't know if we have time, but I can briefly walk you through that.
Yeah, please. I'd love that.
Yeah. So essentially putting one hand on your heart, one hand on your forehead, and you breathe in. So you breathe in for a count of five. So you breathe in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, slight hold. And then you breathe out 1, 2, 3. And breathing in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, slight hold. And breathing out 1, 2, 3. And just the last one, breathing in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, slight hold. And breathing out 1, 2, 3. Now, I obviously did a very quick and short and fast version, but what it does, like it looks very simple because you can do it anywhere, which I love because I love to give tools that you can do anywhere. Yeah. And it syncs the heart and mind. So when we're in masculine, we're in our mind so much. You'll find you're not in your body.
It's like we're completely disconnected from the neck down.
100%. And so it's about getting back into your body. So that exercise is something I suggest to women, even men sometimes when they want to like calm and switch off after work is to, you know, in the car before you walk in, do it. Before you leave your office, just give yourself 3, 5 minutes is ideal. But if you don't have it, just do what you can. It can be 30 seconds if that's all you've got and drop in because you want to sync the heart and mind. And when you do that, you naturally just drop in.
Yeah, that was really, I mean, well, I do did that for about 20
seconds. Yeah, it was very fast.
Yeah, it's really good. I can feel it. That's really good. Thank you. That's a great tool. And that's the thing. You could be doing that. I mean, maybe not if you're on like a Zoom call, but if you're on a phone call for work or you're in the middle of cooking dinner, like that's one. But I love that idea that you just shared there around creating that separation, like when the laptop closes down, because what I ideally like to do is go have a shower. Like my thing is washing my face, like cleaning, like doing the deep cleanse and just doing all my skincare at the end of my work day. That's a real, for me, that's a real, okay, and drop. And potentially as well, changing clothes, like taking off what I wore for work and wearing like a cute little skirt or just something more comfortable to be at home. I think that those two things really help. But I love that little ritual that you just shared with us there. Thank you.
Yeah. And I think the other one is intention. So like there's mindset hacks that you can do when you shut your computer. It's like, you know, sometimes it's like mentally I'm hanging up from clients, like mentally, you know, mentally shutting, you can be like putting all that down and mentally resetting. And I think it's not just the shutting of the laptop, but it's the intention behind it and what you're thinking as you're doing it. That's really the important part when you're looking at the separation and creating feminine energy as you go into your evening, for example.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so good. Can we talk about intimacy and sex for a minute? Because I think it's such a core part of what we are talking about.
Yes.
And I know, again, I feel like I get such a, like a front row seat to so many of my mentees' lives because we talk about it all, you know, because they all, as we said, everything is online at the same time and it affects one part affects the other part, which is, so it all impacts on them as a whole. So I think often female entrepreneurs will say that they are very tired.
Yes.
And they're not getting enough sleep. They feel like they're doing lots to, you know, serve everyone else, whether it's people in their businesses or their family or whatever it might be.
Yes.
How important is sex in just overall for female physiological well-being, but also in the kind of context of a relationship and a connected relationship as well?
The most important. So
yeah, you reckon. Yeah, yeah.
Like, to be clear, I've worked with couples that actually very rare, but do not value it and they have a different setup. But 99% of couples, it's the most important. It creates flow between you and your partner. You'll find you'll have less disagreements because, for starters, physiologically, your cortisol is low. And it's interesting, women always say, particularly women, sometimes men, but women often say we're exhausted, and I get it. But sex and intimacy often gives you energy as a woman. It puts men to sleep often, but for women, it gives you energy, but it also relaxes you and you get that chance to be in that feminine energy. I guess just linking it back to what we're talking about.
Yes, yeah.
And it's actually probably one of the fastest ways to get back into your feminine energy.
Yeah. Because but one of the ones I think that we resist the most because we feel like it's something else to do and it's time when I could be, you know, sleeping or this is one of my, you know, clearing my inbox. You know, there's so many other pressures on our time that it doesn't feel like a good use of time is what women will say to me. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the thing is that it nurtures your relationship on such a deep level. So when we talk about connection, it's not just, hi, how are you? Sure, that's one level of connection, but it's mental, emotional, it's physical, it's spiritual, it's all of those deeper levels. And sex and intimacy is vulnerability with your partner at its core, right? I mean, it's a lot of other things too, but it's vulnerability with your partner. And so if you're not connecting, and it's like a soul connection, right? I mean, it depends exactly what we're talking about, but mostly it's between in a committed relationship, it's that soul connection, it's that ringing down of walls, and that helps you emotionally. So as we know, walls go up when we have disagreements and triggers and fights, it helps bring them down. And so while it feels like maybe not the best use of your time, I can tell you that for a woman, typically it buys back time. It decreases your cortisol. It increases your energy. You'll find you relate better. You'll be less snappy towards your husband or your wife, depending on, you know, like you will be a better human typically, even though I know it can feel like it's like something else to do or that kind of thing. But it's a human need for us to connect. And not just connect on that surface level, but it's a human need to connect on that deeper level. So I really believe that it impacts all areas of your life in a positive way, down to how your kids are seeing you and your partner react to each other.
Yeah, yeah, so true. I ran a little experiment last night. This sounds really...
I'm interested.
Clinical. But I had that beautiful, like, feminine energy. I mean, I was tired when I got home because we were at the car dealership for 3 hours and it was all very intense. But I got home and then I went shopping after... Well, Wade was putting the kids to bed and I went shopping because we're buying like all the stuff for our house at the moment. And so I had a heavenly, oh my God, back in Kmart again. And their clothes are so good. I got like all these beautiful like linen shirts and linen shorts, like 100% linen, like so beautiful. Anyway, massive aside. So of course I had to try on all my new things when I got home last night and show Wade like the hall for the new house and all of that.
Yes.
So didn't get into bed until like much later than normal, journaled as usual. And turned off the light. And I was like, okay, yes, you have to be up at 5:30 to do the 6 a.m. yoga class tomorrow. But what if you had sex? Like, you'd really enjoy it.
Yeah.
And you will feel, much better tomorrow. Like,
you'll sleep better.
Like, I was like, I'll sleep better, all the things.
For sure.
So we did. And it was awesome. And I was looking at my aura. Like, I got way less sleep than I would like to have had. But I feel like my energy levels are really high. today.
Yes. Yeah.
So, yeah. It's so true. But it's just that crossroads, isn't it? It's like, and I had that very logical, so deeply unsexy, but that whole mental thing of,
yeah, which way do I go?
I can wake him up and we can have sex, or I can go to sleep and, yeah, you know that I'm getting, yeah, I don't know. I probably shouldn't put a time limit on.
You might be in trouble if you do that.
But yeah, you're right. I just, what you're talking about there, like those energy levels, it's huge. And I got up for yoga at 5:30 and it was a great class. And I feel like, yes, my energy is high today. So, and I, yeah, think, feel much more connected today with Wade as a result.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, I don't know, especially women that are achievers or in business, I find as well, being, you know, sex and intimacy is actually really important because it drops you out of that mental state of like, go, 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 go.
Drops into that surrender, as you said, that vulnerability space.
Surrender. And I think surrender is one of my favorite words at the moment.
Really?
Yeah. And it's weird because it's something I resisted a lot initially. I'm like, oh, why would you surrender to your husband? I'm like, that's weird. But it's the most darn powerful thing you can do in terms of intimacy, in terms of even connection. Because it's surrender from a powerful position. It's not like I'm surrendering and you decide everything and do everything. It's not like that. It's like I'm giving you me, especially if you're talking about intimacy, I'm giving you my all. And they feel that and know that and sense that on an energetic level, which is really, yeah, powerful. And like you say, it is life-giving, not life-taking. So it's like,
yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? Yeah. It's like, rather than seeing it as something else going to take more energy and more time, it actually gave back energy and gave time.
For sure.
Yeah, I love, yeah, that. Amazing. I could talk to you about relationships all day long. This is fascinating. But focusing on just coming back to your non-negotiables for successful relationships. So yeah. I know the work that you do is, and I know you've got lots of awesome online products coming up this year and lots of, yeah, ways that you can help people on a more, I guess, more group or self-paced,
yes,
level. But if you were to say, like, you're kind of generic, these are the five things you should do if you're running a business and you want to have a connected relationship with your partner, What would your kind of non-negotiables be?
Yeah. So my non-negotiables would be obviously connection in all its forms. So, and clearing the time and space in your calendar. So put that in first, make it the number one priority above all else, because you'll find your business will be more successful, more profitable anyway, because we need that to light us up. It's just.
And when you say put it in the calendar, what are we putting in the calendar?
You are putting in, so, whether it's date nights or whether it's just your moments of connection. Like, for example, it doesn't have to be this grandiose thing. Sometimes it's, you know, a wine once the kids go to bed together, or a cup of tea once the kids go to bed, to connect, to talk, to see how, yeah, things are going for one another. Sometimes one of our favorite things is carpet picnics when the kids go to bed. It's just slightly different, right? It costs us nothing. We light one candle, but it's different intent, right? We're not going to turn the TV on. We are going to face each other because you're sitting on a carpet, like if you're sitting on a rug, you know,
yeah,
it's the intent behind it. So put in meaningful things into your calendar where you're going to connect on an ongoing basis. I think the thing is that we think we'll have a date night once a month and it's 3 hours long. Like, I mean, that's lovely, but it's more about the consistency. It's more about checking in each day so they feel connected, loved and supported.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like micro date nights almost.
Yeah. And it doesn't, yeah, have to take long.
So prioritizing time and calendar, what else are your non-negotiables? So I love the closing down the computer, even if it's for 2 minutes, just to actually greet our partners and acknowledge them. Love that.
100%. Team mindset. You can't go past it. I think no matter what situation you're in, I talk to all couples about this. It's us, not I. And so, you know, even when we're talking about my business, well, it's about us because it supports the family. It enables our children to do the amazing things they get to do. It enables us to go on the amazing holidays. You know, like it's us. And so, really having the team mindset, whether it's about your, you know, the employment or the business, it's important because then it changes how you operate and it changes the practicalities of the day to day and it makes you less resentful and about, you know, maybe picking up the slack for your partner when they're in a busy season. You're like, yeah, but they've got us, you know, they're doing the thing for us and it's supporting us. And I know that it contributes to the whole. And I just think you cannot go past that if you're going to have a successful relationship. You know, whether you're in a job or in a business, it's so important.
Yeah, love that. Any other non-negotiables that you have?
Oh, I have so many. Lorraine will be here all day. No, I'm kidding. There's a few more. Curiosity is one of the big ones. I find that we get stuck in the mundane and we stop thinking that we think we know our partner. So we think we've been together,
yes,
5, 10, 20, 50 years, whatever it is. And we're like, I know you. Like, I have nothing else to say to you. I couldn't tell you that you'd be further from the truth. You just, like, you grow every single day, so does your partner. They decide on new things. They have new goals, new hopes, new dreams, new fears, new worries, new concerns. And if you're not checking in on them and talking to them, you can miss something crucial. And, you know, there's been, I've actually had, it's a bit more of on a serious note, I've actually had couples, you know, miss the signal where their partner says, I need help, because they think it's a run-of-the-mill conversation. And that's when that stuff comes in. It comes in the run-of-the-mill conversations. And if you're not aware and you're not paying attention to your partner, you miss it. And so I only use that example, I know it's a bit heavier, but I only use that example to just stress that while I say have curiosity, there is so much behind that. Because if, you know, you need to have curiosity in all elements of your relationship, and it brings fun and play, which is the next part, into your relationship.
And growth and, yeah.
All of it.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you so much. Thank you for today. I feel like we've had a very whistle-stop tour of relationships and businesses. Do you feel like there's any kind of glaring gaps that we haven't quite covered that you'd like to share before we wrap up?
Look, I think there's so much to it, but I think I'm just going to reiterate one of the points where we started is that if you're starting a business or scaling a business, it's so important to share your vision with your partner more than anything else, and really help them understand it, because it's really easy to speak in jargon to them and think they know when it's like, they have no idea, and they have no idea where this thing can go. And reassurance is another really important part, because when you're making some scary decisions to whether it's to quit your job and move into your own business, you need to give them reassurance. As much as it's a new thing for you, they need the reassurance to know, thank you for the support, thank you for having my back, thank you for taking that extra risk.
Yeah, I love that. And I think often, particularly when we are building businesses and we're starting to grow our team, as that leader energy, I spend a lot of time with my mentees talking about this, what leader energy is for them. And that leader energy is, it's taking the team on the journey. It's you saying, hey, I've got this idea for this business. This is the potential. This is where it's going. And like, let's go. You come with me. It's almost like this magnetic pull for this team. Whereas I think often we miss that step for our partners. Like, we just assume that they know what's going on, and we assume that they've heard conversations. And we forget to take them on the journey and share the vision with them. So I love that you've said that, because I think it's an extension of that leader energy into our romantic relationships. Not to say that we need to be the leader, if that makes sense, but it's taking the time to take our partners on the journey and not just assuming that their support is going to be there and taking that for granted.
Well, our success is their success too, and vice versa. Like, when my husband's thriving in his career, like, you know, it's partly our success because, you know, I support him in different ways and he supports me in different ways. So I think it's also important to know that it's your success too, both ways. Whoever's in the business, it doesn't matter. It's still their success.
Yeah. Like you said, that one of those non-negotiables, that team mindset, like, we're here as a team.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Thank you, Laura. This has been such a good conversation. I'd love to do like a whole workshop on this. It'd be so interesting. I often joke, like, when I have retreats, right, like Bali, and we've got all these female entrepreneurs, mostly female entrepreneurs, and on the retreat, like, we need to kind of have like a sister setup for all the men where they can just like support each other, having to be our partners. It'd be so good. So good.
It would be great.
Thank you for today. I'll obviously pop all your details into the show notes as well, so people know where to find you. And yeah, obviously. So if people want to work with you, how can they do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So you just go to laurapresscounseling.com.au. You can find me on Laura Press Counseling on most of the platforms there. And I actually offer a free 15-minute Zoom call. If you've got questions, not sure how to begin, a bit scary with counseling, sometimes it can be a little bit daunting, just to really, you know, get to know me and ask questions as well and find out how I can best help you. So there's that option. You can get that on my website, and that's for free. And obviously I do couples or individual counseling, and there's some exciting things coming with some online courses as well, which I'm very excited to release. So there's many, many different ways I can support you, and I'm happy to discuss that with you to see what might be the best fit for you.
Brilliant. Thank you. And just to be clear, that discovery call, that 15-minute chat doesn't need to be both parties. It can just be one, yeah?
Yeah, not totally up to you. So sometimes it's both, sometimes it's just one. It's completely up to you, whatever works best for you.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. Thank you. And can I just also, I just feel like intuitively I want to say this. I think often when I talk to mentees, they're quite resistant to going to, so I'll be working with them on business problems, but it keeps coming back to the relationship problems.
Yeah.
So I'm like, can we just sort out the relationship problem and then we can get on with the business stuff? It's like if someone's kid isn't sleeping and they're so exhausted, I'm like, can you just do the sleep training with someone really lovely? And then we can get back to the business because you're actually rested and you can do this work together.
Yeah.
But I think there's this stigma. I think it's dropping a lot. And maybe it's just the circles that I move in and the fact that I'm so passionate about, you know, individual therapy and couples therapy. But I think there can be the stigma of like, oh, you know, we need therapy, as if it's like this really bad thing. And I've got friends who, like, they have some of the most successful relationships, as I would term it. They're so happy, they're so connected. And they proactively go to therapy because there's an issue that has arisen in their relationship and they want to resolve it so they can move on as quickly as
possible.
And sometimes I know we talked about therapy. I've talked about it on and off over the years, but I just really would hate for anyone to feel like they're failing because they're looking for therapy. I think it's such an amazing example of owning your stuff and going and proactively doing something about it. It's an example of a growth mindset versus fixed mindset, I think.
And it's a sign of strength, not weakness, because it's weakness to stay in that
space. And bravery.
It's bravery, it's courageous, because it's more, you know, it's harder to stay in that space and not get the support than it is just to get the support. And also this is online and discreet. So no one ever needs to know is the other thing, you know.
Yeah.
Business is your business. So
I'm on a business meeting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Who cares what it is?
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much, my dear. And people can go find you and love your work. Thank you for sharing that with us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Lorraine. It's a great chat.
There she is, the brilliant Laura Press. I really hope that you enjoyed our conversation and got so many golden nuggets that will help you in your relationship and also by extension your business as well. To find out more about Laura's work, you can visit her website, laurapresscounseling.com.au, and you can find her on Instagram at laurapresscounseling. You can also listen to her Relationships Turned On podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And quick reminder again about my Bold Breakthrough training, which is happening over the next couple of weeks. Cannot wait to share that with the groups that have already registered and would love to have you join as well. You can register at lorrainemurphy.com.au/TBB, the Bold Breakthrough. Chat to you again next week. I loved having you join me for this week's episode. Please do connect with me on Instagram at Lorraine Murphy Mentor and visit my website lorrainemurphy.com.au for tons of free resources and my reading list of all my favorite books. It would mean the absolute world if you could subscribe and share episodes you love with those that you love. Thank you for listening.